Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful day. Cool, almost a little too cool, but just the way we like it. So, before we begin, what I'd like to do is read a Psalm 93. If you'd turn there, please. Psalm 93. But before I begin reading, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Father, I thank you today for the goodness. We thank you for the finished work of Calvary. We thank you, Lord, today for your many blessings. We thank you for the blessings of mercy. We thank you for the blessings of yourself and that you've made yourself available to us. And we just thank you, Lord, that for all that you do. Pray you'd strengthen and encourage us now as we look into the Word of God. Help us to trust it. Help us to believe it. Help us, Lord, to live it. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 93 says that the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established, that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. I'm reminded of some things, and I want to talk this morning about three stabilizing factors that you can count on in your life. Three things that will never change and will never be moved, that you can count on. And that's what I'm reminded of when I read this passage. Three things that cannot change. One of those, and we'll look at them a little bit more detail, but one of those is God's throne. I'm reminded today that no matter what happens, and there's a lot happening today, isn't there? We look at the news, we look at what's happening, of course, big news right now, the hurricanes in Texas and the tragedies and the trials that are going on down there and the loss, the devastation, and we could go on and on about that. We could look at maybe each of our individual lives and look at trials and difficulties and struggles that we all deal with. Sometimes on a daily basis or from time to time, whatever the case may be. I could go through this room right now, knowing most of you the way that I know you, and I could probably put my finger on many of your burdens. I know that Jeff and Molly carry a burden today. They have a burden to see their grandchildren saved. You know, I know that I know Mike and Debbie have burdens and struggles. I'm confident that Josh and Biz have burdens. And I know that Greg and Lynn have burdens. I have a burden. I want to see my grandchildren saved. There are struggles and trials of life. And we've been talking about some of those in the last few weeks. And you just stop and think about in all of that, God is on the throne. God's on the throne. And that cannot be changed. That is a stabilizing fact of life. Now, how we respond to that and what we do with that and what we try to do as individuals to dethrone him, that's another matter. But we cannot change the fact that God is on the throne and he is in control. And I'm also reminded that God has a testimony. God has a testimony that cannot be changed. The testimony is recorded in the pages of this book. That is in the Word of God. Many people around this country and around the world today are trying to change God's testimony. They've done that through various and multiple translations and so forth. But I am thankful today that the Word of God standeth sure. And we can have confidence in this book and in this Bible. And I'm also reminded of the fact that there is a heaven, that is God's house. Verse 5 says, holiness becometh thine house. Where God is holiness. Where God is his presence. And I'm thankful today that that we have a hope of heaven, that there is a heaven, that there, it's a literal place. And today I'm going to be talking primarily to Christians and encouraging everybody and trying to encourage us in the faith, trying to encourage us in these stabilizing factors that we can anchor onto in our daily life. But the truth of the matter is, we do, as stable and as true as these facts are, they will serve us nothing if we do not put our faith in these things. We need to put our faith in the throne of God. We need to put our faith in the Word of God and what it says about my sin and my sinful condition, and what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for that sin as a substitutionary and sacrificial death for my sin personally. See, it needs to be personalized, doesn't it? We know that. Okay. And that when I believe what the Word of God says about Jesus Christ and what he did for me, and when I accept that and repent, change my mind about the way I think things ought to go, the way I think I should get to heaven, and believe what the Bible says about how to get to heaven, then I can be a child of God. And he does that. He accomplishes a spiritual work upon my heart and upon my behalf, and puts me in a different position. Now views me through the blood of Christ, and views me as a saint, if you will, or as somebody who is his child, part of his family. And this passage of Scripture is written to encourage those people who have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded many times over throughout the week that there are religions around the world that are accomplishing absolutely nothing for eternity. Religions around the world accomplishing nothing for eternity. They may do good things. You're hearing about some of those in Texas. Oh, they may feed the poor. They may do this. They may do that. But their God is not on the throne. Their God is not the God of this Bible. Their God is not the God that sits in heaven and has and is a preparer of a place for us. See, they serve a different God. They have a different Jesus, and that's another lesson all to itself that we may look at sometime soon. But the Bible says here in verse 1, it says the Lord reigneth. That tells me that if he reigneth, that tells me that he's in control of some things. He's in control. It says he's clothed with majesty. You know, that just simply means dignity, stately beauty, royal power, royal power. The Lord is clothed with strength. You know, the Lord has some strong points. I think of three right out of the gate. He's all-knowing, he's all-seeing, and he's all-powerful. He knows all, he sees all, and he is all-power, all-power. We like to take some of that power upon ourselves from time to time, do we not? We think we know better. We think we have a better plan. My idea is a little more sufficient in this particular circumstance. Maybe a trial, a test, or as verse 3 puts it, a flood. The floods, that whatever that test or that trial is, it could be manifested in any number of things, a relationship issue, a financial issue, a spiritual issue, an emotional issue. Whatever that is, we think in our minds we have a better idea. I have a better way. And that's the way we want it, isn't it? I'm thinking of the truths, a doctrinal truth of the Word of God this morning, in that we serve a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We, our bodies, ourselves, we We image that in that we are made up of body, mind, and spirit, right? So that's how we're made up. The generations today and in our flesh, we like to look at another triune being, if you will, and that is self, me, myself, and I. I was reminded of that this week, you know. That seems to be the generational movement of today. Me, myself, and I. What's right for me? It's all about myself. What do I want? What can I control? What will I do? And one of the things that I've learned in my life is that when I'm kind of operating in that being, when I'm operating in that mode, the flood dries. The complications come. It's almost as though it's self-inflicted. But even if the trial is not self-inflicted, it's certainly, there's no power there. There's no strength there. There's no advantage of being all-knowing and seeing the situation from the beginning to the end, and the understanding the reasons why and so forth. We need to understand that when these trials come, our faith is being tried. You know, I think about that. Where is our faith? Our faith, and we've talked about that before, but our faith can be in many things. We can have all of the faith that we can muster, but it's the object of our faith. Which Jesus have you placed your faith with? The Jesus of the world? The Jesus of many other translations? Or the Jesus of the Word of God? The one whose testimonies are sure? I'd like you to look at Mark, the Gospel of Mark, if you would, for just a moment. And I'd like you to look at a question that Christ asks a group of men. And look at Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Now Christ is with the multitudes. He has been trying to teach them many things. In verse 35, he says, "In the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? This morning, I can tell you from my personal testimony, is that I have placed my faith in the finished work of this Jesus. This Jesus that can just at his spoken word calm the sea. Just at his spoken word create the universe and all that is within. Just at his spoken word can conquer great enemies in fierce battles. Just at his spoken word saved my soul when I repented and put my faith and trust in him. I take him at his word. He said, "For whosoever believeth in me, right, shall not perish, but have everlasting life." As a spoken word, I trust him. I trust that. But the question here is this: why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith? Jesus knew that. You stop and think, they were trusting their way. What was their way? to Baal like the devil. They had a bucket. They had I don't know what, but they were trying to get that water out of the ship, right? Now, we all know that. When your ship is full, when you've got more ocean in your boat than you have air, if you will, you've got problems. You ever sunk a canoe or tried to sink a canoe? You get it. It's full of water, and it's just that, and that's a troubling thing, especially if you're in the middle of the lake. These guys were in trouble, and they knew it. And they knew it. I think it's interesting who they went to. They went to the one that was sleeping on a pillow. They went to the one that was in perfect calm. One was at rest. Yeah. If we're looking for a calm in our life or in our trial, why would we not go to the one who can calm the sea? The one who can stop the flood. The one who is control of all things. Yet we will reach out time and time again, first and foremost to ourselves or to any other number of resources, and we will not focus on the Lord, which is on the throne. It says, He reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength. Why do we, time and time again, substitute that resource of strength and majesty to another? We'll do it. And I'm ashamed to say I'll do it again. Won't we? If we were honest with ourselves, we'll do it again. In the heat of the moment, in the heat of the battle, we'll do it again. And yet, we find our God merciful. We find Him merciful. The Lord reigneth. I see a throne. I don't see a Congress. I don't see a committee. I don't see a church vote. I don't see a popular public opinion. I see a throne in these first two verses. And I see a throne that is established. Now you think about that. I looked up that word established. It says, it means eternal existence. One that, having been in existence for such a long time, that they are therefore recognized and generally accepted. Recognized and generally accepted. It's established fact. This is one fact that we need to establish in our life, and that is the fact that God is on the throne. God is on the throne. He's in control of things. As much as we would like to be, He is. His throne is above us, I believe, physically. His throne is above us positionally. His throne is above us spiritually. And He is with you in your need, in your time of struggle. I'd like us to look at Isaiah, if you will, for just a moment. Isaiah chapter 43. And we will look at verse 1 and 2. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Think about that for a moment. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sebia for thee. Thou, since thou wast precious in my sight. See, what a wonderful truth. If you would look back Isaiah, let's see here, verse 41:10, Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You think about that. If you have faith in the Jesus of the Bible, if you have confidence in the Christ of the Bible, if you have confidence in the Lord upon this, on this throne, the throne of the Bible, you have the one. You have put your faith in the one that has the ability to bring you above all of those floods, all of those circumstances, all of those struggles, all of those difficulties. Verse 3 says, "The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters." There's somebody greater than me. There's somebody mightier than me. Somebody mightier than all of us collectively in all of our trials and all of our struggles. It's a wonderful place to be, if you think about it. It's a wonderful position to be in. And I'm thankful for that. You think today of God's testimony. We just need to trust His word. It says here that the Lord reigneth. And this is the Lord of the Bible. This is not the Lord of Allah. This is not the Lord of Buddha, Muhammad, or any other religion. This is the Lord of the Bible. Verse 5 says, "Thy testimonies are very sure." Our testimonies are very sure. Do you realize that? That His word is eternal? Many passages we could look at, but I'm reminded this morning that the Bible says in the New Testament, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure." The foundation of God standeth sure. Look at Joshua chapter 21, please. Joshua chapter 21. And we will look, for the sake of time, at just, we'll start at verse 43. Joshua 21, verse 43, and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that He sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand." Verse 45, "There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass." No matter what you think about, no matter what you looked at, if you was to look back at their story and look at their account, not one prayer, not one provision, not one need of a powerful hand, not one presence, not one possession, nothing that God had promised them failed. Not one thing. You know, you think about that in our life. We fail God many times, do we not? We let Him down many times. How many times have we tripped and stumbled along the way just this last week? If we used to look back over my life since I've trusted Christ as my Savior, I could give many accounts, sadly enough, of the times that I let Him down, that I failed Him. But I'm so thankful that one of the things that we have in Christ is that He's long-suffering. He's a merciful God. And He knows our heart. He knows our frame. But not one thing fails. God is not going to fail His people in one minute area. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He will not, He cannot fail. Now, our perspective of failure may be different, huh? we might look at a situation and say, well, where's God? Where's God here? Why this? I'm reminded that God is on the throne. And he knows. And he knows. I'd like to mention something about mercy. One of the areas that God has not failed in. And I'm reminded by a quote that William Shakespeare made. He says, the quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes. 'Tis mightiest in the mightiest. It becomes the throned monarch better than his crown. It is enthroned in the hearts of kings. It is an attribute of God himself. And you stop and think about that. Shakespeare had that pretty right. When you think about the mercy that God extended to us, when he could have just, in my sinful condition, left me there to try to solve my own problem, which would never be solved, and I'd face an eternity in a place the Bible calls hell. That's some mighty mercy. That's the mightiest example of mercy ever that we could mention right here this morning, is that the God on the throne in heaven extended his mercy and provided Jesus Christ his Son so that I could escape an eternal hell. And you could liken it to people today. People with certain means are able to extend, or certain power and positions politically and whatnot are able to extend mercy. The greater the stature of a particular person, the more mercy maybe we're able to give in some senses. But it is, in any rate, an attribute of God, and that he is merciful God. If he's merciful to me, do you think he wants me to be merciful to you? He wants me to be merciful to you. And we are all going to have flooded times. We are all always going to have troubling times. Things are going to happen. Life circumstances will come our way. We do pray for mercy, and the same prayer does teach us all to render the deeds of mercy. And we need to remember that. I'd like to look at some, we have time, we have just a few minutes. I'd like to look at some passages as we continue. I'd like to look at Proverbs 3, just over a few pages. Proverbs chapter 3. He says in verse 3, Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Think about this. Let's just play this out for a little example. What about one of the struggles and trials in your life? Could it be related to a relationship issue? Maybe it's a relationship issue. Johnny and I are not getting along too good. He's starting to get on my nerves. He's on my nerves. As a matter of fact, he's on my last nerve. Okay? There's many things that would come into play here, of course. But if I could apply mercy in that situation, in that circumstance, and if I could say that Johnny, he can't help it, he just can't help it, you know, not in a justifying tone. I'm not justifying him. He may be wrong. In fact, if it's a problem between him and me, I'm sure he's wrong. Okay, but if I can apply a merciful tone in his situation, upon that circumstance. It would change my view of that situation and those circumstances completely. Would it maybe give me the patience that he requires? Would it give me the endurance that he requires? Because maybe there's something about my life that he needs, or vice versa. And we need to understand that. That's, God did that for us. The Bible says that God is long-suffering. He was not willing that anyone should perish. He's long-suffering. He works. The Bible says that it's with loving kindness that he draws us. It's his desire. It's his heartbeat that people trust him and repent and believe the gospel, the truth of the word of God. That's God's heartbeat. That's what God wants. That's an unchanging truth that comes right straight from the throne of God, that he wants everybody to be his child. Yet not everybody will choose that way. But he's merciful. And in our relationships, he wants us to be merciful. It's a wonderful truth. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and Johnny." Or man. That's an important truth that needs to be grasped, needs to be learned, and needs to be practiced. It's forsaking us fast in this me, myself, and I world, or in this some pious position. If we forsake mercy, we're on bad ground. We're on troubling soil. And we can expect the noise of many waters. And simple truth here today. Verse, for the sake of time, Matthew chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." You want mercy? Give mercy. You give mercy, you get mercy. I can be merciful to Jim. And Lord willing, he'll be merciful to me in my hour of need. See? The old adage, what goes around comes around. The simple truth. Psalms 37, just back a few pages. Says he, Psalms 37 and verse 26. Says he is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Merciful and lendeth. The Bible also has some things to say about those who, by way of greed and scam and sham and shame, take advantage of others, looking for that get-rich-quick scheme, or I'll borrow from you and won't ever return it. That's why it's important that when you borrow from me, you can have it. That's my attitude. You can have it. It's a piece of metal. It's a piece of wood. It's a piece of plastic. It's a piece of junk. You can have that junk. You know why? Because my seed will be blessed. I'm the one that wins. You have this momentary gain. I win. You think about that. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. That's something to ponder. Do you want the blessing of God upon your life and upon your family? Then be merciful. Just be merciful. Lend and forget, if you will. Or lend and give it up. But be merciful. And God's blessing will be upon that. Micah 6:8 says, "What does the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God?" That's what he likes. Psalms 93 says, "The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters." There's a lot of things that trouble us. There's a lot of people that trouble us. There's a lot of circumstances of life that trouble us. But this simple truth is that God is mightier than all of it. He says, "Thy testimonies are sure. The word of God is sure." And then we have the hope of heaven. What a stabilizing fact. When we know in the hour of our affliction, our trouble, our trial, what's the worst that can happen? I die. Well, what's the result of the worst that can happen? To be present, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I got a home awaiting me. The Bible says that Jesus said that he's gone to prepare a place for me in John chapter 14. And we read about that place, we only get a snapshot of that place, just a little glimmer of a picture of what heaven is like in the Word of God. And it's all good. It's all beautiful. We're going to see holiness there. We're going to see that this is eternal. Because, O Lord, forever, it says. Forever. I'm reminded that what God does, an eternal God does things for all of eternity. He, in all of his knowledge, in all of his seeing, he knows things for all of eternity. And I'm reminded, by the way, for those circumstances where we feel we've been harmed, look at the first few verses of Psalm 94. He says, "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself." You can go down through this passage, this thing. You see in verse 2, "Thou judge of the earth." Okay? This God that's on the throne is the judge of the earth. And vengeance belongs to him. Verse 10, "He that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct?" Let me tell you what. This is what's going to happen. God knows all from the beginning of time as we know it. God knows all from eternity past to eternity future. And guess what? He will avenge every misdeed. Every misdeed in every relationship, in every circumstance, and everything that hurt or harmed, or in any way hindered his child, he's going to take care of that. We were reading this morning, we're in the passage in, I believe it was it Revelation, where it talks about where the blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle. That's a familiar passage to us. When Christ comes and with his spoken word wins a battle, it says that the blood is going to flow to the horse's bridle. Do you know how? That's pretty deep. That's a lot of blood if we're just looking in our little area. But do you know what the Bible says? For 1,600 furlongs, one furlong is 606 feet. You multiply that by 1,600, and you got a lot of blood. And the throne of God is going to avenge every wrongdoing in all time. Everyone will stand before the judge. Everyone will face a holy God on an eternal throne. You stop and think about that. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that ought to shake you to the very core, the very fiber of your being. I would recommend that you ought to be scared, in plain English, scared to death. If you're here as a child of God, you can be encouraged in that. I find encouragement in that. I find encouragement in that my God is all powerful. My God is all knowing. And my God sees everything. He sees my hurt. He sees my struggle. And he's going to take care of it. I hope today that you have these three anchors in your life. I hope that you have the throne of God that you can bow to and submit to and trust in your life. That you have the Word of God and that you have the hope of heaven and the rest and the peace that is talked about there. It talks about a sea of glass representing a perfect calm before the throne of God. Wonderful, wonderful benefits for the child of God when we look at heaven and we look at his house and his sanctuary and his place of worship and heaven itself. And if you don't have those things that you can claim to, I'd like to talk to you before the day is over. And I trust that this will be an encouragement to you today. If you're a child of God, it ought to be. And I hope it has been. And I'll thank you for it. And I'm going to ask if Josh, would you please close in prayer?